Good afternoon. Time to take a look at news again here on KCOB. I'm Randy Van. Hope your Tuesday is going well. As expected, the Jasper County Board of Supervisors this morning unanimously approved a three-year employment contract, making Michael Frisch the new county engineer.
Excited about him coming. It'll be good to have him. He's a good guy.
That's Supervisor Doug Couples, chairman of the Board of Supervisors. Frisch did not attend this morning's supervisors meeting, but Dennis Simon did. He heads up the county's Human Resources Department.
Mike was planning on being here, but due to a death of a family member, couldn't make it today. But he's still very interested in coming, and should you approve and sign this employment contract, we'll be looking at August 1st. Having a county engineer.
Frisch has been a senior engineer for facilities and maintenance at the John Deere Parts Distribution Facility in Milan, Illinois for the past 4 years and 9 months. He was also a civil structural engineer at the John Deere facility in Moline, Illinois from April 2004 to October 2016 and director of public works and engineering for the city of Centralia, Illinois from January 2008 to July 2010. He will have 4 weeks of paid vacation per year. His salary will be $120,000 his first year. Second year of the contract lists $125,000 salary. His third year's salary will match the cost of living adjustment for that year with a minimum salary of $127,500. He's also been given up to $10,000 to relocate and a $5,000 upfront hiring incentive. The relocation and hiring incentive will have to be paid back to the county if he leaves the position within 6 months of his start date. Russ Stutt resigned as Jasper County Engineer in February. Marshall County Engineer Paul Geilenfeld has been overseeing the department since then. The Jasper County Board of Supervisors are considering passing a resolution making the county a Second Amendment sanctuary county. Supervisor Brandon Tulsa says all that means is county employees will not enforce state or federal mandates that infringe on citizens' constitutional rights to keep and carry guns.
This resolution by no means will allow firearms to be purchased without background checks, for felons to be able to obtain firearms, for people to be able to carry on school grounds or anything else of the like. This resolution also, like most other resolutions we passed and all of our ordinances, will only pertain to our departments and the unincorporated territory. It is just letting it be known that Jasper County will not enforce any federal or state legislation or executive orders that infringe on our citizens' Second Amendment rights. If the federal government or the state want to come in and enforce it themselves, they can, but Jasper County will not.
If the resolution is passed, Tulsa says some government funding could be in jeopardy, but he doubts that would occur.
The federal government could push back, could potentially pull funding from us, but I don't think that's likely. 2 years ago, we saw them trying to do that with cities that had established themselves as sanctuary cities when it comes to immigration. The Supreme Court already ruled against that. And once again, this resolution isn't saying that, oh, we're not going to allow for the enforcement of it. It's simply saying our personnel are not going to be the ones carrying out the enforcement of it.
The resolution also has the support of Board Chairman Doug Couples. Couples suggested, and Supervisor Denny Carpenter and Tulsa agreed, not take action on the resolution until at least next week.
I'm going to support it. So I'm not going to change my mind, but I think I need to listen to what other people might have to say.
I don't think some more public input into it would hurt anything.
We're not allowed to discuss outside of public meetings, so this is simply to get the conversation started with it.
That's exactly right.
The Second Amendment Sanctuary County Resolution will be on the agenda for next Tuesday's County Board of Supervisors meeting. Two 44-year-old Newton residents have been charged with violation of a no-contact order. Happened early yesterday morning. Shortly after midnight, Newton officers called to 900 East 12th Street North, report of a possible no-contact order violation. The reporting party said they observed Christopher Meyer and Sarah Cistern together at that address. When officers arrived, they found them together sitting in a vehicle. Cistern's protected party, Meyer the defendant, the no-contact order. Cistern arrested for coming to Meyer's home and instigating contact. Meyer was arrested, according to police, for continuing to have contact with Cistern, even though he realized who she was. Both are 44 and, again, both charged violation of no-contact order. They're both from Newton. A Newton 19-year-old arrested last August for criminal transmission of an infected disease to another has been sentenced. District Associate Judge Stephen Huerta has fined Noah May $430. May was also given a suspended 30-day jail term. He pled guilty. Newton police say May contacted them on July 29th last year. In that call, he confessed to having consensual sex with his girlfriend about half a dozen times before telling her he was HIV positive. Girlfriend then requested a no-contact order against him. Have a number of funeral announcements today. The funeral service for Lela Jean Jones passed away at the age of 85, set for 1 o'clock this afternoon at Wallace Family Funeral Home and Crematory. Memorials, Jasper County Elderly Nutrition, if he left at the funeral home. A funeral mass for Leonard Albert Deutsch, a native of Newton, taking place 1:30 this afternoon at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Now, burial will take place 12:30 in the afternoon, July 12th, at Sacred Heart Cemetery here in Newton, while his family funeral home handling the arrangements. Memorial service for Richard LaRose of Winterset, formerly of Kellogg, passed away at the age of 75. Memorial service 10:30 tomorrow morning. That'll be at Pensery's funeral home in Newton. Joyce Conley passed away at the age of 74. Time of remembrance and celebration of life will be 1:30 tomorrow afternoon at Pensery's funeral home in Newton. Memorials designated to the American Cancer Society Newton chapter or to the family. Burial will be at the Palo Alto Cemetery. Friends of Joyce Conley may call at the funeral home after 12:45 tomorrow afternoon, just prior to the service. William Roy Will James passed away June 9th, the age of 50, at his home in Newton. Time of remembrance, celebration of life, 5 o'clock this coming Saturday evening at Sunset Park in Newton. Pensery's funeral home in Newton, entrusted with the arrangements. Burial will be at Newton Union Cemetery. Funeral service for Charlene Ruth McGregor of Monroe, who passed away at the age of 90 Friday, will be held Saturday, 10 a.m. at Coburn Funeral Home in Monroe. Burial at Silent City Cemetery in Monroe. Family of Charlene Ruth McGregor greeting friends from 9 a.m. this Saturday until the 10 a.m. service time at the funeral home. Memorials to the Monroe American Legion. Condolences for the family at www.coburnfuneralhomes.com. Eloise Collins of Sully passed away Sunday at West Ridge Specialty Care in Knoxville at the age of 81. Funeral service for Eloise Collins will take place 10 a.m. Thursday, Sully Christian Reformed Church, interment at Sully Cemetery. Visitation will begin 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon with a family present from 5 to 7 tomorrow night at Sully Christian Reformed Church. Memorials for Care Initiatives Hospice, the Knight Newman Funeral Home in Pella, handling the arrangements. A visitation for Stephen Floyd of rural Kellogg, who passed away at the age of 64, will be held from 2 to 4 Sunday afternoon at Wallace Family Funeral Home and Crematory. Memorials in honor of Stephen Floyd should be checks made payable to Lori McNew to help support the Vicki Floyd Day at Eclipse Salon. That is your noontime check of area news and funeral announcements here on KCOB. I'm Randy Van. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.